Hello? Yeah. After the songs are finished. Well, I've been attending Shelter Rock for 2.5 years at Manhasset campus. And Shelter Rock has been a good hiding place for me. After being a missionary and pastor for 25 years, with that kind of baggage, it's very difficult to attend just any church. Because as soon as they hear that you're a pastor, they're thinking like, what is he doing here? Maybe he's still, you know, he's here to steal some sheep. So I would attend Manhasset Church by the window with a cup of coffee. It is a good place to be lost or hide. Because no one knows you. You just come and worship and go home. You don't have to serve since it's a big church. No one bothers me and I don't bother them. So it has been a good year until that point. One day, one of the pastors went up and said, hey, we need some volunteers. Well, I went home. Throughout the whole week, that thought just kept ringing in my head. Next Sunday, I went again and Pastor Jim made an announcement. We need some volunteers in Alpha program. And I knew it was time to get out of my hiding place. I knew it was a time to get involved. So I went to Pastor Jim, and I served at Alpha, and I also served at Sunday school. Now, some of you are here exactly the same reason. This is a good hiding place for you. Maybe you've been hurt in other church. Maybe you've been burnt out and you're tired of serving. And whatever reason that you are here is a good hiding place. It's a big church. No one knows you. No one bothers you. Well, take time. Time to heal. Take time to recharge. But when the Holy Spirit kind of gives you a nudge, be ready to step out of your hiding place. Because, you know, sometimes the best healing comes through when you are serving. Now, let's go into the text this morning. Acts chapter 5, verse 27 through 32, and verse 40 and 42. And if you're new to Shelter Rock, we are going through Luke's, and now we are in the book of Acts. And we are at chapter 5. And if you have, if you're using the church Bible, turn to page 1095. Here's the word of God. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. And Peter and other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as a prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are the witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. His speech persuaded them, in verse 40, we are jumping. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Let's pray. Lord, as we here to worship you, and as the living words are being proclaimed, help us to understand and help us to apply into our life so you may bear fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Recently, I attended my son's moving up ceremony. He was going from 8th to 9th grade. And one of his science teachers was telling my wife, she said, Nathan is a true Christian who actually lives as one. It was a huge compliment. But then as we are going home and we are talking and we looked at each other, what did he do? Usually teachers tell you, your son is a great kid and he's nice to everybody and he's a good student, he gets a good grade. Never heard, your son is a good Christian. And like, maybe I did something right. So my wife emailed the teacher, want to know why she was saying such a good compliment. She said, Nathan always showed to give us a different perspective on what we are learning, especially during the Big Bang unit. He was always open-minded and very respectful, but made sure to let everyone know that there was always room for miracle. I thought that you would be proud to know that it's always refreshing to see a child remain true to his beliefs outside of his home. He's a beacon of light in every action and a word. As you know, I encourage students to ask big questions and have a big discussion with their families, even their rabbis, priests, and pastors. His perspective gave an air of acceptance to the class and helped me instill that science and spirit do not have to be mutually exclusive. What about earth science teacher? I think one of the, as being a parent, is the greatest compliment you could ever hear about your child. And I pray that he doesn't change, that he will continue to live and act as he grows up. But you know, one of the most difficult places to live out your faith is in the middle school and high school. Because they are vicious. And they will eat you up alive. So I asked him, what happened? Like, well, nothing new. I was just being myself. You know what? He taught me a lesson. We don't need to do special with our faith and our belief. We just have to be us, me. Wherever we are, whatever situation they are in, we don't need to be pretend. We don't need to show off. We just need to be who we are in Christ. Because we live in a society where there's so much opposition to religion. And there's a cost to pay revealing your faith or sharing your faith. So in school, workplace, home, friends, in our community, we keep silent. Why? Because we don't want to face the consequences. Also, when you look at this morning's text, apostles were facing the religious leaders, but they faced with an option. Let's look at verse 27 and 29. The apostles were brought in and made appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. Sanhedrin is a supreme court administrative body of the Jews. It consists of 71 members. It includes high priest, most of Sadducees, and some Pharisees. And verse 20 says, we gave you strict order not to teach in the name, he said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. And Peter and other apostles reply, we must obey God rather than human beings. When you look at the text both times, it says what? not to teach in this name. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and determined to make guilty of this man. There was so much hatred toward Jesus, they didn't even want to mention the name Jesus. And they were in front of Sanhedrin, and they were telling them, stop teaching, stop proclaiming. What are you trying to do? You're trying to give us that guilt feeling that we have killed Jesus? In a sense, they did. Because when you look at Matthew 27, verse 25, when they're before the Pilate, all the religious people answered, his blood is on us and on our children. One of the reasons they are being oppressed was that they were, because the religious leaders, one of the reasons was because they are jealous. The church was growing and becoming a mega church. Now you think about 2,000 years ago, there's no electricity, no facility, no high point, no high tech, no microphone. But every time that these apostles were preaching, the people grew 2,000 and 3,000. We're just talking about men. When you include women and children, this is a mega church. And they were jealous because people were paying more attention to apostles, to the early church, than religious leaders. And they were afraid that they might lose power when they become too big from the Roman Empire. And the apostle says, we have a choice. Whether listen to you or listen to God. But we are going to listen to God. Because what happened was in verse 20, chapter 5, they were put in jail. And the angel of God appeared during the night, opened the cell doors, and told them to go out, and said in verse 20, says what? Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people about this new life. Now, I don't know about you, but when the angel appears and opens the jail cell and tell you, go and do something, it is very obvious, I'm going to do what angel tells me to do. I wish angel would tell me, so I would make mistakes in my life. So they said, we're going to obey God. And we're going to proclaim about Jesus. Past 2,000 years, church always faced opposition. Even as we are here today worshiping God, their brothers and sisters are being persecuted because of their faith. For some, even facing death. I want to share a video clip from the open door.
For the last 20 years, Open Doors has been producing the World Watch List, which ranks the top 50 countries where it's most difficult to be a Christian. The list is compiled by a group of experts, audited by an outside organization specializing in religious freedom, and is the best and most authoritative list of its kind. Through on-the-ground interviews and data analysis, it provides an accurate picture of the difficulties persecuted Christians face around the world. For each country, the list looks at a variety of factors persecuted Christians endure in their public and private lives, such as persecution from the government, the community, and even their own families. Open Doors estimates that in the top 50 countries alone, over 215 million believers face intimidation, prison, even death. That is one in 12 Christians worldwide. But the list is not just numbers and figures. It represents those who have decided to follow Jesus, no matter the cost. We believe there is only one body of Christ, and when one part suffers, every part suffers. We hope you feel called to learn more and pray for the millions of believers around the world where persecution is a daily reality.
I have a PowerPoint slide that lists 50 most persecuted countries in 2017. The color with the red is most severe. The number one persecuted country in the world is North Korea. And number two, I think, is Somalia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sudan, and goes on and on. For many people who are living in those countries, they made a choice to be obedient. Go and be my witnesses. Even the midst of persecution. Now, some of you, as you're active with your faith in your workplace, with your friends and your families, you might face intimidation. But we don't go to prison. We don't face death. There's a Pastor Benson. I had the privilege to work with him in Tanzania. He was a young doctor. He takes his family from capital city to the rural area. Now, even in Africa, in the capital city, you have electricity, running water, refrigerator, and air-conditioned modern comfort. But he takes his family to the rural areas where there's nothing modern comfort. He used doctor skills to help people, and as he helps, he shares the gospel to them. When I met him, he just came out of jail. The village elders put him in jail because he was sharing gospel too much. And the one of the prayer requests that he gave me was that he wants to get a motorcycle. Because going on a bicycle in an unpaved road, 20 to 30 miles per day, in a single speed. And sometimes he encounter animals in a road. Because the nights that I slept at his church, I could hear the lions roaring at night. And he said he want a motorcycle because he want to go place to place faster and he want to go further out into the other villages that he hasn't been yet because he want to share the gospel. I said, Benson, you just got out of jail. And if you go more places, they will put back into jail. He said, I don't care. If they put me in jail, I'll share the gospel in the jail because that's what I did last time. Because God is with me and Holy Spirit gives me the power and I will go on. And if I die, I will die while I'm doing God's work. I helped him to get a motorcycle. Within 2 years, he planted 3 churches. Now, in American standard, 3 churches, that's nothing. But you're talking about 99% Muslim area, 3 churches is a miracle. Miracle. And he still goes on today. What are your options? What are the choices that you are making with your faith? Benson and others have made choice. They pay the price. That's why you and I are here today. Even God had a choice. And he paid the greatest price of all to let his son die on the cross. Let's make a choice that will reflect our commitment to Christ in our life. And let us remain true to our beliefs outside of church. We are really good keeping our faith inside of church. But let's remain true to our belief outside of church, in our workplace, in our families, in our communities, even when we face opposition. When apostles faced the religious leaders, not they had an option, but they looked as an opportunity. When you look at verse 30 through 32, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you have killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as a prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And apostles were brave. Yes, indeed, you killed them. And what apostles, when they're in front of Sanhedrin, all the religious leaders, they didn't took that as intimidation, but they rather took it as an opportunity to present the gospel to them. Because they didn't have to go to all the leaders. They were all there, 71 of them. All the movers and shakers were in that room. So what they do? Instead of defending self, they share the gospel to them. The one you killed, God exalted him to his right hand as a prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. See, whenever they had an audience, when you look at the book of Acts, apostles always present the gospel simple, clear, to the point. Crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and witness. They offer the religious leaders the opportunity to get right with God. What do we do with our opportunities that we face? What do you do with people who ridicule us at workplace because of our faith? We ignore, we avoid, we run away. They might reject. See, when apostles share the gospel to all the Sanhedrin, all the leaders of Jews, they reject it. You see the irony? Whenever apostles preached to the regular people, there was a tremendous amount of response. But at religious leaders, no one responds. See, whenever gospel is being preached, not only invites and attracts, transforms, but also invites opposition. You know, opportunity doesn't always come by to us regularly. Whenever God places opportunity in front of you or in your life, use it wisely. Because that opportunity might never come back. Those people who persecute, those people who ridicule us, intimidate us, they need to hear the gospel too. Not only people that we like, we want to share. Gospel doesn't discriminate. And if they don't get to hear, who they going to hear from? And third thing is that when apostles faced the religious leaders, they thought it was an ordinary thing. See, after apostles preached, the religious leaders were furious and they want to kill the apostles. But then one of the person in verse 33 to 39, which we skipped, there was a Pharisee named Gamaliel. Later you find out he was a teacher of the soul. He was a greatly respected man. As you thought nobody was paying attention to what the apostles were saying, he was listening. And he makes a proposition to the leaders. Look, there was a revolt. Pass. He gives the two examples. But when the leaders are removed, the revolt died out. So let's leave these guys alone and let's see. Because Jesus is not there anymore and they might not continue to go on. They might just all disappear. But if this is from God, if this is from God, we are fighting against God. So it's kind of encouragement to us. Whenever you preach, when you share, and people think that you think that people are not listening, there's always someone listening. Always listening. And he was right. It was God who started. That's why it's continued to go on even today. 2,000 years, the gospel message is being proclaimed. Someone shared a message to me. That's why I'm here. That's why I went to Africa. Because I want to share. When you look at verse 40, his speech persuaded them, and they called the apostles in and had them flogged. And they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, let's be honest. How many of you, including me, when you get flogged, whipped on your back about 39 times? Because you know, when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 25 verse 3, you are not supposed to flog more than 40 times. So they always Jewish, they people follow minus one. So 39 times. And you get, you're bleeding in your back. You are hurt and you're bruised. And you go, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I don't know about you, not me. I'd be crying. I would tell my wife, call ambulance. I need to go to hospital. You know? You could talk to my wife. Whenever I get a little cold, I become a baby. Oh, I'm sick. But what change took place? Because when you look at the part when the Jesus was being arrested, they all ran away. But here, they've been beaten up. And they are feeling joy. What's the difference? They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. From when Jesus was arrested to now, only difference. They're same people, same background, same education. In Acts chapter 2, they have encountered the Holy Spirit. And they were rejoicing not because they're going home. They're rejoicing because they simply being identified with Christ. I have suffered for the name of Jesus. Because true joy comes only from Christ. Oftentimes we think as a Christian life is a blessing, is a part of the Christian package. All the good things should come and happen. But you know what? We need to accept both as a part of the package, suffering and blessing. Because sometimes through suffering and hardships, it helps us our faith to grow and depend on God more. Otherwise, we depend on ourselves. Can you rejoice after beat up? Can you rejoice after losing your promotion? Can you rejoice after losing some of your friends because of your faith? There's two ladies In North Korea, there was a famine. So in order to get a food, the people crossed the river and come to the other side of China. Because of Northern Korea, and there's a river between China and North Korea. And so in order to people to get food, they would cross the river. And we had a refuge shelters there. And this one of our missionaries took in this lady. When they come over, they put them in a room. They give her food 3 times a day with a blanket. All they do is eat and sleep and eat and sleep for about a month. And missionary placed a Bible in the corner of the room. Doesn't tell them what kind of book it is. But after a person eats and sleeps for a month, you get tend to bored. So they will start look around the room because they can't go outside because they get caught and they will send back to North Korea. And so they stay, they have nothing to do. They start reading the book, the Bible. And many of them come to accept Christ just reading the Bible. And so this lady, after accepting Christ, the missionary was a discipling her. About 6 months later, she said, I need to go back to North Korea. What do you mean? I can't keep this good news for myself. My family and friends, they are dying and they don't know this good news. I need to share with them. And missionary said, well, if you go back, you get caught and you die. I don't care. Because if I die, I go to heaven. But if I don't go, I will go to heaven by myself. So I want to go back. Missionary tried to discourage her. She was persistent. So he said, look, why don't you go with one other person? So 2 ladies went to North Korea. About a month, she went around, shared the gospel. One day she got caught. One of her partners was in the crowd. In North Korea, when you're a Christian, when you get caught, either they throw you in a prison or they execute you. In North Korea, hard criminals, when they execute, they put the gun barrel right in front of your face and they shoot right in front of your face so that relatives or the families would not recognize your face. And so as this lady was standing in the village square, because the government wanted to make sure that people watch this and they want to make example out of her. And as her partner was in the crowd and she heard this lady who was about to execute it say, sir, repent and believe in Jesus. Sir, repent, believe in Jesus. She kept going on and on. On until the gun sound went off. Her partner came back to China and reported. As she was saying, sir, believe and repent and believe in Jesus, her face was like an angel. There was such a joy. No tear, no fear, anything like that, but such a joy. A young woman. Sharing message, not only people who oppose, but those who will take her life. Yet even today in North Korea, there are ordinary men and women give their life for the gospel. You know, in a Muslim area, if you convert to Christianity, they kick you out of home. You lose your job. Community excommunicate you. And I thought, oh no, they don't do that. When I was working in Gambia, in a Muslim country, a young boy came and knocked at the door in the middle of the night. And I said, what are you doing here? My father kicked me out of the house. He said, you are no longer my son since you became a Christian. I said, no, you can't do that. Are you kidding? Don't worry. If it's Korean parents, they'll come tomorrow morning and take you home. Nothing. So that's the kind of price they pay. They continue to keep their faith. So when you look at verse 42, day after day, they were witnessing. It's not something like witnessing, is it? When you turn, like a faucet, you turn it on and turn it off. They were going on every day as a part of normal life. It was an ordinary thing. It's not something new. Not something special. And they never stopped teaching. A lot of times we think witnessing is end. No. When you lead someone to Christ, you have to make sure they are rooted deeply into the Word of God. Witnessing and the teaching responsibility goes together. That's why in a Shelter Rock we have so many programs like Alpha, Midweek Bible Study, at Sunday School, etc. Is witnessing and teaching part of your ordinary life? Well, it's something that you have to gear up to it. It's something that happened on special occasions. You know, we might know the names of famous people who gave their life, like Jim Elliot, Eric Little, and many others. But there are today and throughout history, there are so many unknown men and women who gave their life for the gospel. And Joe Bailey said, Jesus did not commit gospel to an advertising agent. He commissioned his disciples. And he still stands today. If you and I, we are disciples of Christ, he commissioned us to go and share. I want to conclude. So what does that mean? What can I do? Are you in commission or out of commission? Whether you live here or USA or other parts of the world, we need to be in commission because we are his disciples. Even we face opposition, intimidation. Why? Because Holy Spirit is with us. He will strengthen us. He will give us the courage. Second thing, OPP, why? One person per year. Some say, oh, that's too much. One person this year. Can't do it. I'm not a brave. Can't face opposition. I can't talk people. I get all nervous. Well, then, let's make it very simple. One person. Can you share the gospel to one person? This is July. You have 5 months left. They don't have to attend Shelter Rock Church. Once they accept Christ, they could go to church near their home. But pray for, as you think about one person, pray for opportunity to share with them. Maybe cut the grass, shovel the snow, invite for cookout, maybe cook a dinner, maybe cook a bread or something and take it over there. Maybe babysit their kids. Find an opportunity. And we don't have to travel far places. We don't have to go beyond our ability and the gifts that God has given us. Let us be a salt and light where we are, where God has placed us. Let us not miss the opportunities that's around us. When you look around, there's so many. The The last thing we could participate is prayer. As you saw the video from the open door, so many people are being persecuted even now as they worship. And one of the ways we could participate is pray for them. And I know some of you in Shelter Rock that you are active with your faith, and I know you are facing intimidation in your workplace from your co-workers. Let's pray for them. So this time, as we close, can we just pray? And I will close. All right? Let's take it to the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you as we come this to worship you. We want to lift up those brothers and sisters. Jesus. Oh, Lord. For Lord, it is easy for us to come every Sunday to worship you in this comfortable place. Yet there's many brothers and sisters throughout the world that are not fortunate as us. Some of them are facing intimidation. Some of them are put in jail. Some of them are even facing death. Lord, we are all part of body. One family. Lord, we lift them in our prayer. Let your Holy Spirit just encourage them, empower them in the midst of their distress, Lord. Strengthen them not to lose their faith, but continue on. Look up to Jesus. And be faithful to their calling. I know some people, as we go to our workplace, we face intimidation. We are being ridiculed because of our faith. Lord, help us to be bold. Help us to rely upon you for the strength. Help us to be active with our faith. And look out for opportunity to share the message of Jesus Christ to those who do not know. Strengthen us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.